You are listening to the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
The FDA is about to get a lot more muscle.
More money and more power.
Sweeping new powers.
The most sweeping overhaul of the nation's food safety laws since the 1930s.
Robert Scott Bell.
If you like the efficiency of the post office, the competence of FEMA, and the compassion of the IRS, we will love the nationalized health care bill.
Robert Scott Bell.
The British Medical Journal accused a researcher, Andrew Wakefield, of outright fraud.
People need to look at the details and not look at the headlines.
This is like Salem, the visceral response that they're trying to whip up in the public to try and crush this dissent.
Enough is enough.
Taking on bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom and making sense out of medical propaganda. The voice of health, freedom, and liberty, Robert Scott Bell.
Anybody up for a little counterintuitivity? Can I say that? Yes, a little counterintuitivity today as we launch the Robert Scott Bell Show. Really a bizarre story or study come out, and I saw this yesterday on MSNBC, their health section. It's not what you would expect, but here's the article. Here's how it's headlined. Some patients worse off with more experienced docs. Subheading, people with complicated medical problems more likely to die in the hospital under the care of a seasoned physician than with a newcomer. Wow, what an unusual finding, would you say? Because normally you'd think if you got to go to a hospital. Now, we are not advocating going to hospitals. We want to stay away from them as much as possible because they're really great places to die, not really great places to get well. That's just bears out by the stats. But this study, it flies in the face of common sense. It's basically saying sicker patients turned out to fare worse under the care of seasoned doctors. And the newcomers looking after them, they're more likely to live. Now, this is according to the American Journal of Medicine. Let's see here. Patients whose doctors had practiced for at least 20 years stayed longer in the hospital and were more likely to die compared to those whose doctors got their medical license in the past 5 years. Now, the patients are staying longer in the hospital are more likely to die. Doesn't that ring like a warning bell to anybody? That hospitals are dangerous places and that doctors are even more dangerous the longer they're in practice? Now, this is going to be a little controversial here because I know the old docs are going to defend themselves. But give me a moment here. Let me try to parse this study and see if we can make sense out of it. You know, there's always a way to make sense out of the nonsense or the unsensible or that which is confusing within the mainstream media or the medical journals. Again, these are according to the findings from the American Journal of Medicine. Now, the results, according to them, highlight issues that we have as a medical profession in keeping up to date with the latest medical knowledge. That's according to Dr. Nitish Chowdhury of Harvard Medical School. Harvard, that's right. Who was not involved in the new study. That's the commentary from Nitish, right? It is a quality of care problem that has long been recognized for, well, at least the last 5 to 10 years, according to what he told Reuters Health. How would you like to be, I guess you're trying to backtrack on defending your organization and say, well, it's not enough schooling, right? So I'm from Harvard, so maybe we can influence the schooling here. But I'm going to get in. I don't think it's so much schooling or even recertification. I think there's experience here that is good for those that are older or have been at it for longer. But I think there are other factors at play here that are resulting in this increased rate of death when you are seeing an older doctor in a hospital. Now, Dr. William Southern and his colleagues looked at records of more than 6,500 patients who'd been hospitalized between 2002 and 2004 at New York City's Montefiore Medical Center in the Bronx. It's a teaching hospital, and you know, in the teaching hospitals, they have the patients are seen by a junior doctor who then assigns them to another medical team, and they have medical students, and they have recent graduates, and they always have a senior doctor who's considered the attending physician. Now, over the course of the study, there were 59 different attending physicians, and the researchers divided them up based on how long they were practicing, 5 years or less, 6 to 10 years, 11 to 20 years, or more than 20 years. This is an interesting study. Again, it's going to the how do they formulate this thing? How do we know what they found is legit? And it seems to be a legitimate study here that I'm referencing. Now, because the researchers, they thought they might behave differently with long-term patients, they actually even did one step further, and they only took the information related to new patients, So there wasn't familiarity between the doctors and the patients. Okay, getting more interesting here. Now, in comparing the most and the least experienced doctors, researchers saw the most experienced group had more patients die in the hospital. Again, not to be expected. You think, okay, I'm worried. You don't want to go to a teaching hospital. You're going to get exposed to young kids. They don't know. But it turns out you might be more likely to live if you got the young kids looking after you. Why? Well, I'm going to have to think about that as we cover this story right now. Now, at first glance, compared to patients with the newest doctors, those with the most experienced physicians had more than, get this, it wasn't like a 10% difference. I mean, you'd think, okay, it'd be a little different. No, it's major league. A 70% increase in their odds of dying in the hospital and a 50% increase in their odds of dying within 30 days. Now, that is downright frightening. Come on. You see somebody that's old and gray coming at you in the hospital. You say, hey, where's the young kid? Where's the kid fresh out of med school? I want him or her. Wouldn't have thought of that before this, but now this is pointing to some things that got me thinking. Now, when the research took into account how sick the patients were, because they wanted to kind of balance this out, they found that only the sicker patients, those with complicated medical problems, were at higher risk in the hands of more experienced doctors. Isn't that interesting? They found that the sicker the patient, the more likely they were to die at the hands of the experienced doctors as opposed to the newbies. Why is that? You have any idea? You know, and it gets even more interesting because as you read through the study, they acknowledge that previous research has actually found similar results. It didn't matter what the physician's specialty was, that older docs are more likely to kill you. Okay, maybe I'm being a little harsh, but we know the allopathic medical system, the interventions that they do are really, really quite dangerous. And I guess if you're more experienced with that, which is more dangerous, it doesn't make it less dangerous. It makes it more and more dangerous. I'm trying to get some understanding here. You know what? And I think the doctors are trying to figure this out as well, because Chowdhury, who commented earlier in this story, says it's not quite as simple to say that as you get further away from training, your quality gets worse, because that could be the thing. Is it that older doctors, they just slack off? Is that the problem? I don't think it is. And Chowdhury doesn't think it's that they're not capable or experienced doctors, but that they're maybe not familiar with current guidelines and practices. And I don't even think that's it either. Now, the authors also suggest that physicians with more than 20 years in practice should be required to recertify periodically. And I know to some of the older docs, like, why should I recertify? I know more than most of these whippersnappers around here. And I don't even think recertification is going to do it. I think this is an emotional issue, quite honestly. Yeah, I think it is. You think about this. You're a medical doctor. You're in a hospital. You're around death and dying and disease and decay. And all you get to do are drug people. Sometimes you get to cut on people too, but that's about it. People are coming in, they're helpless and they're hopeless, and the sicker they are, you're like, these people are not going to make it. I mean, you become cynical, downright cynical. And you could almost defend it and understand it, but you go into healing and then they've beaten the healing right out of you after time. That's what I think this is. I think this is indicating that you've got the young people coming in. They may not have the experience of the older doctors, but they have the life force, the vitality. They're passionate. They're excited about what they're doing. And that energy alone is something that allopathic medicine cannot acknowledge even existing. That is the young people. Even if they suck so bad as doctors, they have energy, vitality of a younger person. And you know how it is. Why do the old men hang around and they marry, women in their 20s and 30s, right? The Hugh Hefters of the world. Because it makes them feel young. And I'm not just saying this is a male and female thing, although there's a lot to be discussed in that regard. But anybody who has been around a young person that has energy and vitality, I mean, they're the ones that move mountains. They're the ones that change the world. And you know how they say it, the only way to change the world is sometimes to have the old people die off. And I'm not advocating euthanasia on old people. Don't get me wrong. That's not what I'm saying. These are just understandings throughout history. There's a reason people get stuck in a state of consciousness or get worn down by life. And of course, if you're hanging out all that time in a dangerous, depressing setting like a hospital, exposed to all kinds of nasties, I can understand why you would be depressed. And that kind of energy could deplete the life forces of others around you, especially the weakest and most ill among us. So we have another dilemma that allopathic medicine is loath to face, because their conclusions in this article, and I have it linked up at robertscottbell.com, and those of you who get the email alerts through naturalnewsradio.com, you can see this story and read it for yourself. Their focal point is we need continuing medical education for old doctors. And I don't think that's going to do it. I think what we need to do is send them on retreats where the youthful energy comes back into them. How about removing the restrictions on integrating natural medicine's modalities to boost their immune systems of the patients, to actually help them to restore integrity to the digestive system, to detoxify these patients' livers, to not just hammer them with chemotherapeutic agents, including antibiotics. And you want to bring the vitality of youth back to old doctors, watch how exciting medicine will be when they actually have the ability to help people instead of harm them. Remember the first do no harm principle? After many years of taking the oath, whether you took it or not, you kind of it's insinuated that you had. You suddenly realize one day, geez, man, since I took that oath, I've been doing the exact opposite of the entire time. And it causes a schism in your psyche. And you're going to see a doctor like that many years into their practice, 20 years later. I don't know. I don't think I'd recommend it. I think the energy of youth here has to be served, acknowledged. And it doesn't mean that old people can't have the energy of youth. I mean, look at Ron Paul. Look at Professor Peter Duisberg at UC Berkeley. I mean, these are people that have been on planet Earth, and they've actually found a passion, a mission in their life. And even if the world is aligned against them, they still find a great joy in life, and they have a childlike energy, a sense of humor about them. So I think, you know, the first thing to do, if you want a litmus for an older doctor with experience, make sure they have a sense of humor. And I don't necessarily mean a dark, macabre sense of humor, because that might not be a great idea for you at that point in time. But humor, my goodness, you want to bring the spirit, the life, the breath, the energy, the sound, the spirit again into life. Humor is one of the greatest ways to do it. Find a funny doctor, please. You know, laughter, the best medicine in this case. And so none of that is acknowledged in this. I'm not surprised as to the reasons why it's not. You have a Dr. Steven Weinberger commenting. He's the executive vice president and CEO of the American College of Physicians. He cautioned that it's premature to make drastic changes based on the results of the study. Why? Because it's only a limited small number. No, that's not what drastic changes. The drastic changes we're looking at are not so drastic when you think about it. If you think about bringing humor and youthfulness and vitality into the medical profession, if you think about bringing freedom into the constrictions and restrictions of the old doctors that have been set in their old way because they've been beaten, literally, their life has been beaten to a pulp that they have to just do this, head down, grindstone, and never can you show joy. It's all red tape. Reminds me again of my uncle, the doctor, God rest his soul, not alive today. In his body, gone. He was a radiologist, nuclear medicine specialist. He was in the Vietnam police action as a medic, a doctor there. And he warned me in the 70s when I was a mere kid, don't go into medicine. Do not go become a doctor like me. It is a miserable profession. And what's coming down the pike is going to be even worse. And he saw this 30, almost 40 years ago. He knew what was happening. And at the end of his life, he found great joy in painting and creativity, but it was too late after a life of exposure to toxic chemicals and radiation, and he succumbed to cancer, maybe even the treatment of cancer, although I've talked about this story on the air before. Maybe I have to go reiterate that story for my new listeners here on Natural News Radio. But he really came about and became more alternative than even I am. That's possible. He started seeing docs that were doing energy medicine. I loved it, in fact, but unfortunately it was a little late in the game, but he had a renewed spirit, renewed vitality, and love of life at the end there. I'll never forget that as well. But if you're trapped in the medical profession, I feel for you. I have compassion for you. And I'm arguing for you to have the freedom that I want for all doctors and non-doctors alike. That is to bring your experience to the table, yes, but not be limited by that. Allow other things to come into play. Allow creativity to enter in, because it's not like, you know, what is the television show House? You know, in 60 minutes, it's wrapped up. Most of the time, the patient lives. It's a miracle cure or something that they find. And sometimes they don't. But the reality is, in life, if these doctors were free to innovate, to have the levels of creativity that we were bestowed by our very birthright, we would see a much less dangerous place to be in the so-called hospitals, especially if they were willing and able to integrate homeopathic medicine, energy medicine, and the like. Will that ever happen, or will they have to crumble under the weight of their own obstinance and ignorance and arrogance? I don't know. What do you think? You tell me. Why do you think? Am I right? Am I wrong? Am I off base? Am I on base? Let me know. 866-939-BELL, 866-939-2355. We got a lot of healing to do. I've got the Rand Paul interview that I'm going to play next hour. Fascinating. We cover a lot of topics in a short time, including the debt ceiling and a lot of other things. You're going to want to hear that if you didn't catch it on the Ron Paul Money Bomb from yesterday. In the meantime, like I said, let's take a break. Say thanks to my sponsors. Thank you for being here and helping me just ramp up the message of health, freedom, and liberty every day right here on Natural News Radio. This is the Robert Scott Bell Show, rocking on.
When we come back, I'll be joined by my good friend Liam Sheff to parse some news stories, including a Gates Foundation in attempt to create a new what? We'll get to that also. What does the CIA, DNA, and bin Laden have in common? That and more coming up after the break. Stay with us.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Hello, this is Jonathan Wagner. We have an internet website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, that carries many of the products discussed on Robert's show, including the 100% whole food chromium and selenium, silica, as well as sovereign silver and Nordic naturals. ChooseToBeHealthy.com features the Rolls Royce of probiotics. It's Dr. O'Hara's probiotics. Dr. O'Hara, a world-renowned microbiologist, formulated a unique probiotic that blends ancient Japanese fermentation methods with 21st century technology. No refrigeration is needed. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics contains the strongest lactic acid bacteria known to man based on scientific laboratory research. 6.25 times stronger. Quite simply, it works and works very well. So go to our website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, or call us toll-free, 866-424-1077. That's 866-424-1077. We're here to help.
What do you think? Call Robert now at 866-939-2355. That's 866-939-BELL.
What is the number one secret to all your health problems? I'll give you a hint. Dr. Alexis Carroll kept chicken heart tissue alive for 28 years in a test tube. He said the cells remained youthful so long as the metabolic wastes were washed away. But when wastes were allowed to accumulate in and around the cell would age and then die. So the key to radiant health is cellular cleanliness. And the key to keeping the cells clean of chemicals, free radicals, and heavy metals that we are bombarded with in our society is glutathione. This master antioxidant is required by every cell of the body. Glutathione levels decline due to toxicity and aging. The number one food to replenish your body's glutathione levels up to 64% or more is unheated, grass-fed whey protein powder. This miraculous superfood may do more for your health than any other supplement you've ever taken. To get your free report on the best whey protein powder, call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworldwhey.com.
Information is so good, it requires no expiration date. The Robert Scott Bell Show.
I called my good friend Liam Sheff after reviewing a couple of stories here, and I thought, who better than to get on here to discuss this? And one of these stories is really astounding. It relates to the Gates Foundation. Now, we have been no fans of the Gates Foundation because it all seemed to be about vaccines. You got this problem. Oh, vaccine. You got that problem. Oh, vaccine. You got a hangnail. Take a vaccine. Yes. And, of course, that level of absurdity and dangerous absurdity is something we not only can't condone, but we will ridicule and marginalize if we can, because it's earned the place in, I don't say folklore, but right here on the Robert Scott Bell Show, that deserves to be lambasted. Anyway, but there's some interesting news out of the Gates Foundation now as they're going to the crapper, so to speak. And this is actually a good story, but I'm almost stunned. I'm almost thinking this came off the onion. So I'm calling up my good friend Liam Sheff. You know him, investigative journalist from liamsheff.com and reducetheburden.org. It turns out, Liam, that this is a real story. The Gates Foundation wants to reinvent the toilet.
Yeah, I was stunned by this headline. It's as though somebody's listening to me, which never happens, so I don't know.
What is that all about? Who's listening to Liam? Come on. Now, in reinventing the toilet here, it's actually, you know, I was thinking, okay, Gates found another big thing. Microsoft Windows, they'll have an extension that'll be a downloadable toilet. I don't know, something weird. But in fact, they're talking about something like sanitation.
the things you've been writing about, the things I've been talking about all those years about what's gone on in Africa, that these people are suffering from diseases associated with poverty, including sewage just running in the streets.
Right. The total lack of sewage reclamation in most of rural and a lot of urban Africa means that people are drinking water filled with contaminants that cause major, major disease. Then the Gates Foundation and UNAIDS goes along in their white lab coats and they say, well, you either have AIDS or you have bird flu or you have swine flu or something.
Right.
But nobody says, you have dysentery, you have sepsis, you have major parasitic infection, you have you have chronic tuberculosis all around this area because all the water is pooled and rotting and the mosquitoes come in and you get the malaria. So the foundation is putting forward, and I'm looking at an article called Gates Foundation, quote, we need to reinvent the toilet by John D. Sutter for CNN. It says the Gates Foundation is announcing $41.5 million worth of grants on Tuesday aimed at getting someone to re-engineer the flushing porcelain toilet. Well, that sounds like a lot of money. It kind of sounds pointless. Why do you need to spend $41.5 million to invent a toilet? Here's what it says. It's too expensive for people in the developing world. A current flush toilet system requires water and a sewer system hookup, which aren't always available. Well, that's, I mean, amen. There is no sewage reclamation in most of Africa, in most of Southeast Asia. And it does nothing to actually treat human waste, says Frank Rijberman, the foundation's director of water sanitation and hygiene. My God, somebody's gone rogue at the Gates Foundation.
Well, yeah, that's what I was thinking, too. We were talking about this, and it's like, do we need to get, like, witness protection out for the, for this? Whoever this agent is of the Gates Foundation actually promote improvements in sanitation out there? And if you think about all the hundreds of millions, maybe there are billions associated with the Gates Foundation now, do you think that they could install some sanitation projects into these areas and see disease drop? I mean, is there historical precedents anywhere, Liam, where sewage was enhanced or improved and then suddenly disease went away?
Why, Robert? Hey, I'm sorry to steal your line about somebody going rogue, but that was your line, and it's true. I'm amazed. They're talking about waterborne illness, and it's though they were paying attention to history. Why? Whose history? Our history. Exactly. There's a book called Water, Race, and Disease by Werner Troskin from MIT Press. It goes, why at the peak of the Jim Crow era, the brutally racist era in which blacks and whites were separated and segregated, and blacks were refused all social services, all kindness, all gentility, and all health care in every major sense that we now think of it. But why during the height of the Jim Crow era did illness in the African-American community go down? Why did life expectancy go up dramatically? Why? Because we were building sewage systems. Now, the white population felt so anxious about sharing a sewage system with the black population that they actually built two. They built one for the black population and one for the white population. But the good news was they both worked. And typhoid, waterborne illnesses, parasitic illnesses, wiped out, gone. These were the scourges. Malaria, I mean, we had to drain these swamps. We had to get rid of TB, but we did this by draining swamps, building water reclamation and sewage reclamation systems, and getting clean water into neighborhoods and houses. First, you know, towns, then neighborhoods, then houses. This is what changed illness in America. Now, the Gates Foundation is going to Africa, its favorite whipping boy, you know, to take an actual metaphor for this, the polio eradication programs, which are just, I mean, polio is toxicological, it's pesticides, it's major toxic poisoning. The AIDS thing is just major water poisoning, major poverty, major malnutrition. And instead of saying we're going to make even more money from this, they're saying we're going to look at human waste as something that we have to protect people from.
Hmm. Well, it's really a stunning thing that we're seeing happen here, and we've been calling for that for so long. I mean, if you have a private foundation that has the access to be able to dole out these so-called grants, you think they would have been focusing on nutrition and hygiene and sanitation. Now they're actually doing something for sanitation potentially, and I'm just wondering if this is going to be shut down the moment it gets out too far into the media. But some of these grants have actually come out. There are actually proposals now as far as what technologies can be implemented as such. Whether they can make a new toilet for pennies, I don't know. But the reality is, this has got to be a major shift in acknowledging that the whole disease eradication model of the vaccine program doesn't work. Now, that's me just wishful thinking. I know they're not giving up on the vaccines, but the reality is if we invested this way, We could, and everybody would be much healthier for it.
Now, before we praise them too much, let's say they're not building sewage systems in Uganda,
or, right?
Outside of Soweto, they're not building sewage systems. So they're giving money to eggheads and universities. And let's here, let me just go through a few of these quickly. Andrew Colton from Loughborough University in the UK is making a toilet that will recover water and salt from feces and urine, as long as you don't put it in my food.
Yes.
Giorgio. Didn't we have a story about that?
We did. In fact, there was a reclamation project to turn feces into steaks or something. That was very bizarre. I wonder if that came through the Gates Foundation. It would explain a lot if that were the case, but I think that was out of Japan.
Giorgio Stefanidis from Delft University of Technology in the Netherlands, is working on a toilet that will generate electricity from waste, which will be gasified into plasma using microwaves. Sounds dangerous. It's interesting.
Yeah.
That gas can be used to generate electricity according to the proposal. Yuling Chen from University of Toronto is trying to make a toilet that will sanitize feces within 24 hours so human waste doesn't transmit disease through a community. Well, that's rather brilliant. Chen plans to use a process of dehydration, filtration, and smoldering to render the waste harmless. And it goes on, generating electrical power from probably the heat in the electrolytes. It goes on and on. And the Gates Foundation warns, it says, that none of these efforts constitutes a, quote, silver bullet that would solve the world's sanitation problems, and says new toilet designs must be pursued in tandem with better wastewater treatment and sanitation systems. Something in there might ring ring a bell in your head, though.
Well, anytime you reference the silver bullet, of course, it references the thousands-year-old knowledge of history and in medicine. That silver played a very important role in microbial eradication, if you will. And rather than being a drug approach, it's a simple, you know, trace element mineral or metal approach that can be used in conjunction. I mean, heck, the space station in the last episode of the space shuttle, they still use silver in a colloidal state, albeit in very small quantities. They don't need much to purify the water, including sewage reclamation. They actually purify the water coming out of the astronauts themselves for recycling, and silver is a very important part of that. Now, they've used the term silver bullet, but of course they're not going to go anywhere with that. We don't know where they're going to go beyond, as you said, the grants to these egghead institutions. This might just be a make-good project to pretend we're going to do something different than just vaccines, because we're getting a lot of heat from the vaccine, let's say the people that are awake to see the danger of vaccines.
Right. I'm going to keep my eye on this because I actually like it. I love innovation. I believe that technology can be used for excellent purposes. I believe that we can get cars that get 150 miles to the gallon that are 2- and 3-cylinder. I believe that we can do all kinds of things, have small refrigerating units that use very little power. I believe we can build solar. I believe we can build windmills and get electricity for our country. I actually believe it because people do it and there are good studies on it. So I believe it's possible that somebody could invent essentially a rural waste, I don't know.
Well, reclamation something like that. As I said, it's long overdue because, yes, we have made a lot of technological leaps and advancements in the last however long, century or more. But in so many ways, you know, what's true about this? Who's reinvented the toilet in all that time? There are, let's say, flush-free systems. There are these waterless or dry toilets. I mean, there are things out in the wild that can work. But at the same time, applying it where it's most needed, in the places where they don't have basic sanitation, sewage pipes, etc., that would be the real key to eradicating disease. As you referenced, within our own history here in the United States, with the sewage systems that were made, you know, albeit separately during the Jim Crow era. So this is another thing to consider, and it's like, wow, it took them this long to figure it out. I'm just thinking there's got to be pressure somewhere. And I'm thinking that the vaccinology groups are just getting so much heat, they're going to have to throw some money out there. They're going to be basically taken out, and I don't know, the pitchforks are coming for them or something.
Well, whenever you bring an entirely new young group of eggheads and researchers and good people in the universities, and they get on their first excursion to some part of Africa or Southeast Asia, and they look around and they say, well, it would be nice if we could inject everybody with something, but they don't have any toilets, and these people don't have any clean water. And I assume that some small percentage goes forward and says, we should work on a clean water project, and I know that that's not where the money is. So I guess there's, you know, there's always an, forgive me, there's always a Neo in the group, you know, there's
yeah.
always somebody who pops up and says, this doesn't make sense, you know, I'm going to take the other pill.
Yeah.
I remember years ago I was talking with somebody who had gone to Africa to do a project in Uganda. And it had to do with water, it had to do with clean water and all the diseases that come about. And I said, yeah, that's very important, and how hard is it to get money? And she said, it's incredibly hard to get money. You always have to put in the title HIV/AIDS whenever you want to do something for clean water.
Well, what are they, can they call the toilets HIV/AIDS toilets? Would that help? I don't know. Whatever gets the sanitation there, I'm all for.
HIV/AIDS prevention by not having, yeah, I mean, that's the myth, right? It's actually immune deficiency prevention by not having fecal matter and fecal forms, colon forms in the water.
Yeah.
And by the way, and a toilet that makes electricity, I just now picture every American wanting one so that they can fully live the American dream of just sitting and watching TV and being totally energy efficient if you take my drift.
Yeah, exactly. What I'm leaving here is going to allow me to watch an hour more TV per day. The Americans are going to love it. Well, listen, Liam, I got to take a break here. I want to have you hold on over because there's another story, and we covered this a while back, but it is still very interesting and fascinating to cover it with you, in fact. The idea that we collected DNA, our CIA went after DNA with vaccines in Pakistan. Is it a real story? And if so, what does it say? Or what does it not say? That's why I have Liam Sheff on board this hour on the Robert Scott Bell Show, Rocketed for Health, Freedom, and Liberty. RobertScottBell.com is the website. Sign up also for email alerts at naturalnewsradio.com. And if you'd like to call and ever be part of the program, or if you have a comment, hey, it's easy enough. 866-939-2355. 866-939-BELL. Right back after this with more of Liam Sheff.
The Robert Scott Bell Show. Scott Bell Show.
Hi, this is Mike Adams inviting you to check out naturalnews.tv. This is a video site, a video community website that's been called the YouTube of the natural health community. It's pretty cool there. You can upload videos, share them, view other people's videos. Right now we're serving over 1.2 million video views a month. We've got a personal health transformation video contest on the site. We've got recipes, superfoods, lectures, interviews, anti-cancer information, diabetes information. I mean, it is just loaded with great videos, how-to videos, knowledge, wisdom, everything you need to know to pursue a natural health lifestyle. Oh, and it's also got a bunch of cool freedom videos from Alex Jones and Jesse Ventura as well, because we are a freedom-oriented natural health website, kind of a health freedom website. Check it out at naturalnews.tv. Again, that's naturalnews.tv.
For thousands of years, silver has played an essential role in safeguarding human health. Robert Scott Bell Show listeners know that Sovereign Silver, bioactive silver hydrosol, is the purest and most effective form of silver available. Only Sovereign Silver contains the smallest and most active particles in every bottle, each batch rigorously safety tested to guarantee the highest quality. At only 10 parts per million, Sovereign Silver outperforms other colloidal silvers 50 times more concentrated. Sovereign Silver acts faster than echinacea, oil of oregano, and other immune products. Like water and has more uses than anything else for the immune system. And Sovereign Silver now comes in a topical first aid gel. Use Sovereign Silver gel on cuts, scrapes, minor burns, bug bites, itching, eczema, diaper rash, and more. Sovereign Silver is the number one selling silver brand in the U.S. For a free information packet to order or for a store near you, call 888-328-8840. That's 888-328-8840 or visit sovereignsilver.com.
Got a question for Robert? Call now at 866-939-2355. That's 866-939-BELL.
Did you know that your hormones can be rejuvenated without cancer-causing hormone replacement, including bioidentical HRT? This is Dr. Teresa Dale inviting you to take action with my natural homeopathic formulas. Get relief and balance back into your life. My formulas help heal a variety of health conditions, including menopause or low T. You know you have the power to heal your body and mind, and yes, my system and products will help you do that. They have been proven with thousands of people in before and after saliva tests. You can actually get a saliva test sent to you today, or just start using our formulas for optimal wellness. Learn more at wellnesscenter.net or naturalhealingpro.com, and you can always give us a call at 800-219-1261.
Robert Scott
spell.
Let's take a walk on the wild side.
Alrighty then.
You're everywhere, baby. Radio, TV, the papers. Am I right or am I right or am I right? Right.
Robert Scott Bell.
What does the CIA and the DNA and vaccinations have to do with each other? Well, last week we covered this story about the CIA, Bin Laden, and the future of vaccine programs because it was big news. Oh my gosh, they were tricking the Pakistanis. Oh, how sneaky that CIA. They were pretending to give hepatitis injections or vaccines to save them while they were secretly taking their DNA. For what purpose? To find Bin Laden. And, of course, I didn't have Liam last week to comment on this story, and I asked him to come back on also to talk about this, because is it just me, or is this absurd, this story? I just was scratching my head going, are they making this up? Come on, what's going on here?
Yeah, the internet wonks who do this will call this something like co-Intel-Pro. The CIA, Bin Laden, and the future of vaccine programs. Now, this is coming from something called fiercevaccines.com.
I love the name, Fierce Vaccines. It's an awesome name. And also, the headline, give them props for that. The CIA, Bin Laden, and the future of the vaccine programs. No one would ever think to put those three things together. I mean, that's a classic headline.
This is propaganda. Let's read the opening line and see if you can follow the thread.
Okay.
As U.S. intelligence zeroed in on Osama bin Laden's location, never mind seeing the body, we don't need to do that, in Abbottabad, Pakistan. No, not Abbott and Costello. Abbottabad, Pakistan.
Yeah, it sounds like it should be Abbott and Costello. Hey, is a bin Laden on first or second?
I think that he was gone in 2003, but that's just me talking about the dialysis he was receiving.
Yeah, we've covered that here too. You're right. But then it says the CIA found a useful front to obtain his family DNA, a hepatitis B vaccine program. This is just a bizarre opening line, if there ever was one.
But wait, did they receive? Was it a useful front? No, hold on. It's unknown.
Oh wait,
the article.
It's unknown. You're right. The next sentence it comes in and says, "Well, it's kind of like what I covered yesterday on the show with the new flu shot, right? You've talked about it in terms of whatever the government puts out. They always disclaim it at the end, and they did that with the flu shot as well this year already. They say, well, it may or may not be the right one. It may or may not protect you. It may or may not be dangerous. And they're off the hook. Here they've just said it. Well, they really helped them. And then the next sentence, Liam, it's unknown.
The flu shot. This shot will not protect you against the flu. This shot may cause the flu. Make sure to get your shoe flot.
Exactly. Well, it is a shoe flot. It is. So it's unknown if the CIA obtained the DNA, and many experts supporting vaccination efforts in developing countries worry about the long-term effects of this covert op.
hold on a second. The U.S. zeroed in on Osama bin Laden's location in Pakistan. The CIA found a useful front to obtain his family DNA, a vaccine program. What does that mean? It's unknown if the CIA obtained the DNA. In other words, this isn't a story, and many experts supporting vaccination efforts in developing countries worry that the story that we just made up will dissuade people.
The very first paragraph is a mishmash of things that make absolutely no sense when put together.
Yeah, this is COINTELPRO.
I'm sorry, man, and I apologize to anybody who doesn't find the humor or absurdity in this, but it really is some kind of story here. Normally, when you see subtle covert operations in the media and the New York Times or whatever, they try to roll a story out that people can sort of follow. But you read this first paragraph, and you're just going, "What did I just read?"
What the second one gets even better. While an anonymous senior U.S. official told the Associated Press, this operation was a rare occurrence. What operation? Its existence doesn't help stem distrust in the areas that need the vaccination programs the most. Here it is. We don't have to make sense. Just remember, keep injecting all the poor brown-skinned people in the world with monkey kidney proteins and thimerosal. It's just so unfortunate, says the unnamed anonymous senior U.S. official.
Goodness.
It's the worst. Oh, wait. Maybe this is some. Yeah, here we go. This is from the WHO. It's the worst kind of labeling you could put on a public health campaign. Sona Bari, a World Health Organization spokeswoman, not a doctor, told the AP, any backlash against this will hurt the children of Pakistan. Oh, it's for the children, Robert.
Now, it's always for the children. They must have consulted Hillary Clinton on this one then. This is an amazing thing. Honestly, when you start looking at it this way, and once you're trained this way, the way Liam can read the news, the way we read the news, the way Mike Adams reads and writes the news, you begin to unravel that which is, you know, basically a form of mass hypnosis. And you start looking at it, you're going, dude, this is so messed up. I mean, I think we need to put it in the toilet that's yet to be invented by the Gates Foundation.
We could make electricity out of this and power an entire season of The Bachelorette. And believe me, that belongs in the toilet.
Okay. And we don't need extra TV time for that. That's for sure. Now, we go on in this article. It says, in 2009, President Barack Obama assured leaders in Nigeria, Pakistan, and Afghanistan that his desire to establish polio eradicating vaccine programs in those countries was an effort to eliminate the disease. Now, of course, wouldn't you be thinking if the CIA says they're doing it this way, they're just coming to get my CIA, in my DNA, that now people over there are going to be less inclined, because we already saw some of these stories over the years out of Nigeria where that the Muslims were refusing to get vaccinated because they didn't trust the Westerners. And this only inflamed the neoconservatives to say, see how bad these Muslims are over there. They don't want to get vaccinated. And it's like they were actually intelligent to say, no vaccines here, please.
Yeah, this is what they do in the AIDS thing. They're wanting to drug all of these heterosexuals before what? Before when they're not sick. They just want to do it so that they don't ever test HIV positive. Then the argument comes out from, who are they fishing for? This is a crazy story because HIV tests come up positive for everything in the universe. They're just junk. But the story is meant to grab a hold of the sort of liberal feed blogosphere out there, no offense liberal feed bloggers, who will then come on and say, oh, it's good for the heterosexual males but not the homosexuals. Oh, you're being racist. We need to give the drugs in advance to everybody. This is now going to be featured somewhere. This is the same as the story last week. This is for the agenda setters. This is for Bono and the people who get out and push the agenda. Did you hear? You're afraid of vaccinating because the CIA did something wrong, something about Osama bin Laden, but don't be afraid of vaccines. They're really important.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we talk about the liberal effete bloggers. Couldn't they question the possibility that man can manufacture a drug that knows whether you're gay or straight? I mean, did it dawn on them at all that that was a little weird?
You know, I mean, it's that old sort of fake left-right dichotomy where the left is supposed to care about gays and women and the right is supposed to care about money and whatever. But the reality is that they're both being, you know, the real conservatives and real liberals, and I like both, are being used and manipulated to promote an agenda that they don't understand. Why? Because they're not reading the fine print. What's the question here? What is a vaccine is the only question they don't ask here. Mm-hmm. They don't answer here. They don't put it up. What is in a vaccine? Animal kidney proteins?
Yep.
Animal viruses, thimerosal, which is mercury, aluminum, other adjuvants, squalene, what else? Stuff grown in all kinds of cells that are injected past the immune system, past the mouth, the intestine, the gut, past all of the stuff that keeps the bad stuff out of your body and excretes it into one of those expensive electricity-producing toilets that Bill Gates is trying to build.
Yes.
You see, it all ties together, Robert.
How we're going to tie the CIA, bin Laden, the future of vaccines and everything else together, it'll be a miracle.
We're going to put it in an electricity-producing toilet, and then we're going to be fine. We're going to run our computers now. The Gates Foundation. Did we make enough jokes, by the way, about how if the Gates Foundation produces a toilet, does the toilet crash? Does it refuse to start? Do you get stuck in the middle?
Well, and if you made an Apple toilet, it would be, you know, the biggest selling toilet on the planet. So, you know, you got the differences here, but really, can we make sense out of this? I mean, obviously, I like to do that. I like to take these stories and pick them apart to show the absurdity and somehow put them back together again in a way that makes sense. And honestly, I'm scratching my head here. It's like, what do you think their intention is here? Because they write this, they're only going to foment more resistance to the vaccine movement overseas, right? And this is where they want to do that, which those in Africa are saying, well, you know, we don't want your vaccines because we suspect they're going to turn us infertile. And we know there are risks associated with vaccines because of what's in it, some of which you mentioned, to create or give rise to the infertility of people right here in America, much less those in Africa.
Yeah, this is what they're doing in this article, as far as I can see, is providing a propaganda rationale to people to argue in favor of vaccination. Yes, we know that we don't trust the CIA either, but vaccination is very important. As the spokesmouth for the World Health Organization said, it's just so unfortunate. It's the worst kind of labeling you could put on a public health campaign. This is any backlash against this will hurt the children of Pakistan. Here we go, the WHO. This is the point of the article. The point is, don't pay attention to the man in the corner. Make sure that you're promoting vaccines for this part of the world. And here's your rationale. Those people who hate the CIA and hate intelligence, and those people who hate Osama bin Laden, all of you can now get in favor, get behind vaccines, and you don't have to trust Nigerians or Muslims anywhere in the world, or Pakistanis, who say, we'd rather not you inject our children with things which cause polio, which cause paralysis,
right,
which
cause
major...
We'd rather have the new toilets, thank you very much. Send those.
You see, this is the other half of the Gates Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is the flip side. We're giving them faint praise for a little bit of egghead research into making better toilets. But they're still not just saying we're going to take that $50 billion that George Bush pledged to AIDS in Africa and build some sewage systems and see what happens. No, we're not going to do that. But we're going to take that's billion with a B.
Yes.
We're going to take $40 million and give it to some eggheads to make better toilets. I'm in favor of that. But
it's a fraction of a penny, though, in regards to what they're really spending, as you said. And it all tends to focal point on pharmaceutical research, drug subsidies, and this is at a time where, needless to say, in America, bridges are crumbling down, and we're destroying bridges overseas and rebuilding them before we do anything here to help, you know, our own community. And I'm just wondering if there's going to be a breakdown in the sanitation system here, and we're going to see rise in all of these diseases that you're used to seeing in those countries that they're targeting for vaccines, and in theory saying, well, maybe we'll throw a toilet in one or two along the way.
Our infrastructure problems are mounting. We're having problems all through the South, the Southwest, the West Coast. We have roads that need to be rebuilt. Most importantly, I think, that nobody talks about, we have an electrical grid that is falling apart. We need to put energy and money into it and create local energy production rather than centralized energy production. That way,
right,
we can have electricity, even if we have oil shocks, we can have windmills, we can have hydroelectric, we can have solar, and we can have electricity in our neighborhood, so we don't have to fall back into the 17th century if there are indeed oil shocks.
Yeah, exactly.
We're not doing that. We're not talking about it.
No, we're too busy invading countries and rebuilding nations and, of course, watching the Federal Reserve fritter away any value left in the dollar, which is no longer the dollar. So anyway, Liam, I so much appreciate you coming on short notice like this and covering the news in this way. Those were two really important stories I wanted to get your insight on, and you have been game to the task, as you always are.
Yeah, interesting stories, and I'm grateful for the time on your excellent and wonderful show.
Well, absolutely. That might get you back on the show again. Liam,
Robert Scott Bell, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, Liam Sheff at liamsheff.com. I've got it linked up, as well as reducetheburden.org. Check out all the wonderful artwork that Liam produces that puts a perspective that sometimes words can't even do justice to, and we love it. So thanks again for being on board. We got lots more healing to do here. Remember, next hour I'm going to replay my Rand Paul interview from yesterday. Fascinating discussion of a lot in a short period of time. I think you're going to dig the information we're going to reveal with him next hour. So stay with us. Coming right back after this.
You're looking for FDA-approved radio. You're listening to the wrong show. This is the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Hi, this is Mike Adams inviting you to check out naturalnews.tv. This is a video site, a video community website that's been called the YouTube of the natural health community. It's pretty cool there. You can upload videos, share them, view other people's videos. Right now we're serving over 1.2 million video views a month. We've got a personal health transformation video contest on the site. We've got recipes, superfoods, lectures, interviews, anti-cancer information, diabetes information. I mean, it is just loaded with great videos, how-to videos, knowledge, wisdom, everything you need to know to pursue a natural health lifestyle. Oh, and it's also got a bunch of cool freedom videos from Alex Jones and Jesse Ventura as well, because we are a freedom-oriented natural health website, kind of a health freedom website. Check it out at naturalnews.tv. Again, that's naturalnews.tv.
What do you think? Call Robert now at 866-939-2355. That's 866-939-BELL. Hold that shrimp on the Barbie until you find out about Papaya 35 Multiply Plus, direct from Australia. All-natural, GMO-free Papaya 35 Multiply Plus is made from fermented papaya and pomegranate, rich in natural probiotics, digestive enzymes, and antioxidants. Now get this spectacular product to boost your natural killer cells to help your immune system and improve your digestion at the same time. So now you can have your shrimp on the Barbie, feel better, and if you act now, get a great down-under price and free shipping on each product that you order. Don't wait. Go to onestophealthshop.com and order now. That's one-stop-health-shop.com. Get that great down-under price and free shipping right now at one-stop-health-shop.com. That's one-stop-health-shop.com.
It's a long way to the top.
On bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom. Here's Robert.
Thanks again to Liam Sheff for dropping by today to kick things off today on the Robert Scott Bell Show. I have got another story there. If we needed another reason to be taking our EMF detox remedy from King Bio every day to counteract the radiation, here's another story out of Japan that shows it up front and center. You know, much more severe than we're seeing here in the U.S., although, as I said, we acknowledge the elevation in a lot of foodstuffs, no matter how organic and how low on the food chain we go, there's still some relative concerns that I have. And if you're eating higher on the food chain, we definitely want to counteract it with the strategies we've talked about a lot here on the Robert Scott Bell Show. Now, Don, you sent me this story. It's called Radiation-Tainted Beef Spreads Through Japan's Market. Now, I'm not surprised about this, but how are they finally acknowledging it after all of these cover-ups? What are you seeing there?
Well, apparently, I guess there were some Japanese folks that were barbecuing in the dark and suddenly realized that there was something wrong with their meat.
Well, what are you talking about, barbecuing
in
the dark?
No, I'm just kidding. No.
You're doing a glow-in-the-dark meat joke. Glow-in-the-dark meat joke. Okay. Now, this, you know, I don't even know if it actually does glow in the dark. I mean, this is the thing that makes me concerned to want to get, you know, these handheld radar detectors, but this not radar in the sense that, oh, you know, the cops are going to tag you, but it's a radiation detector, the Geiger counters, and they're making them pretty high tech, but they're pretty pricey units. I'd like to see if we can find something that's reasonable. I've seen a good one, but it's like $1,200. But I'm thinking it might be a wise to do. Maybe even a community wants to pitch in. And go for one. I don't know. These are the things that neighbors don't talk to neighbors anymore, but it'd be a way that everybody could get one and utilize. But here we have the lingering effects of this radiation, basic release. You know, these people in Japan, of course, beef has always been very expensive. It's a small island nation. Mm-hmm. But now it becomes pricier due to the health concerns that you have after eating it. I'm looking here. The Japanese agricultural officials are saying that meat from more than 500 cattle were likely to have been contaminated with radioactive cesium, and it made its way to supermarkets and restaurants. I mean, were they not thinking that they had to check this stuff out? I mean, they're at Party Central here of all the radiation being released out of, out of Fukushima. You'd think that it would be something that would be a top priority. How did this get out there?
Well, the cattle ranchers, I guess there was a precautionary order to halt all and any farm shipments at one time after the accident happened. But when that was lifted, they took that as a green light to go ahead and send your cows out. Hmm. So they went ahead and did it, you know, and I can understand, you know, some of these cattle ranchers, you know, I mean, this is how they make their money.
Sure, they want
to
survive.
If they get a green light and a go ahead, then they're going to go ahead and sell their beef, even though they were only 20 miles away from the power plant.
Wow. Yeah. And then they detected radioactive cesium at 250 times above Japan's official limit.
And it's just a little bit.
Just a wee bit. And this is why, You know, and it's hard for me to keep, you know, I think, am I speaking or is it falling on deaf ears? Because as I said, people feel like, well, I can't see it. There's not a lot I have control over. And I'm just going to eat and not worry about it. It's like, no, don't eat, not worry about it. If you're going to eat, which we have to eat, and I don't mean to worry about it, but do something about it. You know, we talked with not only Dr. Frank King, but Dr. Teresa Dale. We've talked to Dr. John Apsley. We've been covering this. Mike Adams has been on the show. And there are so many things that people can be doing to mitigate and minimize the damage from radioactive exposure. If we have listeners in Japan, it's all the more urgent there to get a hold of some of the homeopathic medicine like the EMF detox. But there are other strategies, other ways to go. And, of course, we talked about them even with Dr. Carolyn Dean. We talked about even baking soda, bathing in baking soda and the bentonite clay. Cleansing the intestines. We've talked about coffee enemas. I know a lot of people are not into that, but recognize that it's a very valuable strategy for acute crises interventions. And then we talked about the antioxidants, elevating selenium levels, iodine levels. I mean, all of these strategies could and should be implemented. And as I say, at the very least, for those that say, well, it's too hard to do all those food things and supplement things, Robert, what one thing could I do? Well, I'm not here to say that it's the only thing you should be doing, but give King Bio a call at 800-543-3245, 800-543-3245. I mean, it's so simple. Just do a couple of sprays a day. At least you'll be counteracting some of it from the energetic realm. And we'll talk more with Dr. Teresa Dale about some of these strategies as well as we continue on. There's a lot more things that we need to do. But Don, I mean, I imagine that nobody really is talking about this outside of what we do among the general public. Have you seen any evidence of people going, gee, I heard the radiation might be falling out on America too?
Oh no, they've moved on to the next thing in the media. I mean, a lot of people don't even comment or even think about what happened. Then they think that, you know, since Fox News isn't covering it anymore, that it's not an issue anymore. But it definitely is. And you know, in Japan, they've detected radioactive material in all kinds of produce, including spinach and tea leaves and milk and fish. And they found actually contaminated hay as far away as 85 miles from Fukushima.
Wow.
And so it's devastated the entire region around the plant. And a lot of people don't think about how that gets into everything and anything that they might be consuming or eating or drinking or breathing, you know, from all of the farms and the areas, the water table. You know, it's had a large effect there locally, and you know, as well as what traveled over here.
Yes.
And again, I don't know. Did they ever really come out with any real statistics on that, or did they just kind of sweep that under the rug?
They're sweeping along.
Nothing else to see here.
We're still trying to dig for some of these facts, and we're going to reveal them as soon as we have them. And we've got some people working on that now as well. So we'll get back to you, Don. Are you taking your EMF detox every day? I think I sent you a care package.
You did. Yep,
okay.
I got
good.
My care package, and I'm right on top of it.
Good. Good. Well, keep the family safe, and everybody out there, you stay safe as well. Take the steps. Don't wait for the disaster to visit you. I mean, if you're breathing stuff in, you don't know it until you have a problem later. So counteract it by every means and every possible energy that you have to do. Even if it's one thing, it's better than no things. Listen, we got to take a break. We're going to be coming back a whole other hour of healing on the Robert Scott Bell Show. Remember, next hour, Senator Rand Paul, as well as we're going to diabetes, another diabetes breakthrough drug, and it relates to cholesterol. Oh my gosh. Let's find out how bogus and dangerous it really is, shall we? Let's. On the other side of this break. In the meantime, just remember this, that the power to heal is yours.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
72% of America is obese or overweight. Heart disease, cancer, and diabetes are at all-time highs. America is sick, fat, and confused. Hi, I'm Kevin Brown, author of The Liberation Diet. I'd like to personally invite you to join me for a 4-week intensive course called Liberation Wellness for Life. In this course, you'll learn the truth about how to use real food to lose weight without sacrificing good taste or nutrition. Come on. Summer's just around the corner. You can lose weight with real foods. Think it can't be done? Listen to a few satisfied customers.
I would absolutely recommend Kevin's program to people who are serious about their own success, serious about their own good health, and serious about improving the quality of their life.
Join me for this very special online event. Go to liberationwellness.com and click the online class link. mention Natural News Radio and receive a $20 discount. That's liberationwellness.com.
Listening to the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
Oh, look at all these trillions of dollars debt, lost jobs, and foreclosed homes.
Did I do that?
You dug yourself a hole and you crawled in it.
Robert Scott Bell.
How did the Department of Homeland Security get into the medical business?
Joe, we have a potential pandemic.
A national health emergency.
The sky is falling. A piece of it just hit me on the head.
Robert Scott Bell.
We will make this the most honest, ethical, and open Congress in history.
Is there any insanity in your family?
Do we have the power to tell people what they have to eat every day?
Senator Coburn,
today, Junior?
Taking on bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom and making sense out of medical propaganda. The voice of health, freedom, and liberty, Robert Scott Bell.
This hour coming up on the Robert Scott Bell Show, a special interview with Senator Rand Paul that I conducted recently in regards to his dad. His dad, you know, his dad's running for president, right? The freedom candidate. Ron Paul, of course, and we're going to talk about that as well as the Ames, Iowa straw poll coming up, and of course the debt ceiling. Wow, is this exciting to watch? how much secrecy in government is going to continue to go on here as they continue to mortgage your children and grandchildren's future into oblivion? And got to give props to the senator and Congressman Paul for standing headstrong against any elevation of the ceiling. And people are crying, oh, dare you, you will take food out of the mouths of babies. Listen, what's doing that is the Federal Reserve. You cannot continue to print money the way you're printing it up and expect that the people that need it the most will be able to use it and have it buy anything. Because those who benefit by the Federal Reserve, fractional reserve, fiat money system are the people that get to touch it first. And the little people, we don't get to do that. We touch it last when it's really able to buy scraps of what? Not sure. We'll see. We'll talk to Senator Rand Paul about that. We may cover a little bit on the government shutdown, the danger of pure democracy, inflation, as I mentioned. How about the Patriot Act and health freedom? But I think one of the more interesting things we're going to discuss with Senator Paul is the issue of his letter to FBI head Robert Mueller. Yeah, this guy, interesting. They want to re-up his thing, extend it beyond 10 years, and it's a big controversy because there are a lot of questions that Rand Paul has about the FBI's role in ignoring the warnings that were given, many of them, prior to the attacks in 9/11-2001. Yes, that's right, going all the way back there, and he's got the courage to stand and ask the questions. Hats off to Senator Rand Paul. Looking forward to airing that interview in just a little while. But first, we've got to reduce or reverse some diabetes nonsense, dangerous and deadly diabetes misinformation related to a cholesterol drug that they are now claiming might lower blood sugar levels. Just an eensy-weensy, witty bit. I taught it to a putty cat. In diabetics, you diabetics, you got to be careful because the pharmaceutical industrial complex and the medical minion doctors have it in for you. Every chance they get, they try to, oh, we got a new drug for you. Well, it wasn't for you, but we found out one of the side effects might be good for you until it's not good for you. What am I talking about? Well, this is off of the Health Day news site through Yahoo. Yahoo! This headline, though, it is so freaking misleading. It should be criminal.
I mean, this is the kind of thing where they say, well, is the First Amendment made for that? I mean, this is really deceptive. Controversial cholesterol drug might lower blood sugar levels in diabetics. Now, yes, controversy, I would agree, but the fact that it might lower blood sugar levels in diabetics, if you read that, you're like, oh, wow, maybe a new breakthrough here. They've got something great for the diabetes people. What did I say, the diabetes people? Don, it'd be like the village people in circa 2011. They'd all have diabetes. The way diabetes is growing everywhere, it's like the diabetes people. Yes, we'll give them a new controversial cholesterol medication. What will happen? Well, let's find out. Well, they were surprised, first and foremost, that it was initially designed, as they say, to raise good cholesterol. Is it good? Yeah, good cholesterol. It's HDL, high-density lipoproteins, good. And they want to do that with a drug that'll kill your liver? We know here on the Robert Scott Bell Show that if you want to elevate HDL so that you have those wonderful ratios that your doctor say, oh, that's okay then. Well, you'll do it with glucose tolerance factor chromium, the whole food form of chromium, not the chloride, not the polynicotinate, not the picolinate, but the food grown chromium. And you do 100 micrograms three times a day, you will do. I did it with my mother, just as predicted. So that's, if they're looking for a good news scenario with their drugs here, they say, oh, we hope to raise your HDL. Well, we can do that with a nutrient, with a trace element. Oh, but here you go again, Robert, promoting food over drugs. What are you, nuts? Yeah, that's what, everybody in the room, they're all calling you crazy. You're the only sane one. You are sane because you listen to the Robert Scott Bell Show. Or we're all kind of crazy together. Whatever. The bad news about this particular drug, it's called torsatribib. Torsatrap-ib. Torsatrap. It's a torsatrap. Where's Admiral Akbar when you... Oh, it's a trap. There he is. Admiral Akbar.
Yes, it's a trap.
It's a trap. It's a torsatrap-ib. I don't know what the IB is on the end of that drug, Don, but it sounds pretty scary because as you find out what it does, I mean, here you go, the headline, it reduces or it might lower blood sugar levels. So it's like this promising new thing you read, and then you go in, not like two paragraphs down, there's a downside, according to the authors. What happens is that diabetic patients in this so-called Illuminate trial, let's illuminate this drug, let's see what happens. Turns out, it was killing a lot of the people in the trial. They were literally dropping dead of heart attacks. It was like Vioxx on steroids here with this torsatrap-ib. It just increased cardiovascular problems and mortality. And, of course, we joke, it's a morbid joke, or what they call that kind of humor, but... gallows humor,
I guess. Dark humor.
Dark humor. That, yeah, one way to eliminate high cholesterol is to just kill the patient, and it's ludicrous. But that's really what's happening here. Now, they said there are two other medications that are promising, and one is called Dalsatrap-ib. Torsatrap, not scary enough. Now we got Dalsatrap, but it might not be as trappy. And then there's Anacetrap-ib.
You notice there's a common theme here. Each one of these drugs has the word trap in them.
It's a trap.
Is that a coincidence?
I think not. I think that they might not have intended it to be this way, but that's the way it is. And they're all in obviously the same drug class, but they don't appear, Don, to have the same heart attack risk. They don't appear until you look at them. Of course, they haven't looked at the other two in this way, so how are they going to know? It's in the same class. It'd just be a coincidence if it happens. It'd probably be just fine. So it remains to be seen if these drugs have the same benefits. They're still talking benefits. The same benefits, yes.
Well,
of torsatrap.
That's what they do. You know, whenever they try and recycle one of these things, you know, they talk about the new, amazing, earth-shattering discovery that they've made that it might do this. But never mind what we found in the clinical trials that we did 2 years ago that caused us to have to put a warning on the label. Just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it's amazing. Now, the results of the study out of Australia were published in the August issue of Circulation. So it's the upcoming. It's a little advance notice here that we're giving you on this. So don't be all out of sorts when you hear this, because you'll have heard it here first as to how dangerous this thing is. Now, they're also promoting atorvastatin, which is a statin drug, and you know what those do. Well, it goes after your cholesterol, and of course, we know here that cholesterol is very important for good health, for good, proper, neurological and brain function, as well as endocrine function. Do you remember what it is the precursor of your hormone system?
What is it, Alex?
Ding, 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 ding. Well, if you want any testosterone, Don, you better have some cholesterol. I don't know if you want estrogen and progesterone, but even men have some. You don't need as much as the ladies. But if you plan to have any, of course, the hormones are what keep you young throughout your years. You definitely want more cholesterol, not less. We want more longevity, not less. We want more cognitive ability, not less. We want less Alzheimer's, not more. So to go on a statin drug in combination with this is absolute nonsense. But this is the kind of kindergarten-type discussion, dangerous kindergarten-type discussion. It's one thing, you know, when a kid is in kindergarten and he draws a picture of someone with a knife and then they send him home or they want to arrest him now, you know, that's right, one thing. Right. But when you're an adult and you do that with these drugs and you actually kill people, nothing happens to you.
Yeah, well, then it's normal, right? I mean, that's what's supposed to happen. Somehow there's a difference between the adult reaction and the child reaction.
Yeah, well, you know, the thing is, this goes back to 2006. Here we are, what, 4 or 5 years later, and we're just now getting word on this drug. They call it the LDL-lowering drug and all of the things that it's doing, along with Torsatrap and all the other traps that they want to throw at you. I've never been so trappy in an opening segment on covering a drug story. It's just bizarre. But here's a quote from it, and it just goes one step further. This is Dr. Joel Zonzine, wow, what a name, director of Clinical Diabetes Center at Montefiore Medical Center in New York. I don't think these are powerful anti-diabetic agents, but it's an added effect, and it makes sense if we can treat several risk factors with one drug. And I add, that might kill you, more likely to kill you, in fact. So there's no clear explanation. In fact, when they acknowledged the reduction in blood sugar, you know, that's announced really in big, bold letters at the beginning, it's someone who averages 150 milligrams per deciliter each day. That would bring them down to around 140 milligrams per deciliter. I mean, it's a paltry, what, 5%, if that, 7%? Mm-hmm. And, you know, to risk your life for that, well, we can basically take GTF chromium, Don. I mean, here we are solving the world's diabetic problem for nothing. For nothing, and not hurting anybody in the same sense. I mean, that's what is considered bizarre and fringe today.
Yeah, when it comes to diabetes, you know, we see these stories all the time, whether it's you know, surgery or new drugs, you know, just like the story that we were talking about the other day about the gastric sleeves and the surgeons right. trying to pioneer new ways to treat diabetes. It is really so simple that they keep trying to find these other ways, these end-around ways that, you know, are going to involve something that's going to cost money when something as simple as the chromium takes care of the problem.
Yeah, it's so simple. You're right. And the thing is, these people would all have to find other jobs, and they probably wouldn't be making a fraction of what they're making today. So they are obviously heavily invested in not having that kind of truth and these facts come out, which is why, you know, we must persist in doing it, because we know that the old media is invested in a culture of death. Occasionally we acknowledge that they come out with a good story, and it's like it's in the midst of a million other piles of rubbish. And so they figure, hey, we throw it out, and we can claim we actually covered something, and nobody notices anyway.
You got to love the game.
Yes. Play the game. Not here, not now, not ever on the Robert Scott Bell Show. We're going to take a quick break here, come back, see what other stories are happening. Also reminding you, we got Senator Rand Paul coming up with an interview conducted recently, which is fascinating. The insight behind the scenes look at what's happening in the debt ceiling negotiations, as well as what happened with the FBI prior to 9/11. Yeah, Rand Paul's got some cojones to go after Robert Mueller there. It's very interesting what you're going to learn today on the Robert Scott Bell Show. 866-939-BELL, 866-939-2355. RobertScottBell.com is the website. NaturalNewsRadio.com is where you can listen. We're probably listening through there now, but please, while you're there, enter your email address in, and we will include you every day in our update, so you kind of know where we're going. You got the links to the stories, and we'll help you navigate it so that you're much healthier and empowered to walk through life with a lot less fear. Coming right back after this.
Why do you listen to the Robert Scott Bell Show?
Bravery
and integrity is amazing, and it's much needed.
I love, love, love your show.
I love the show, like all the things that you're doing with Mike Adams and all the writers at Natural News.
To be quite frank with you, I think the show is the biggest breath of fresh air we've found.
Call Robert now at 866-939-2355. That's 866-939-BELL.
Hello, this is Jonathan Wagner. We have an internet website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, that carries many of the products discussed on Robert's show, including 100% whole food chromium and selenium, silica, as well as sovereign silver and Nordic naturals. Choosetobehealthy.com features the Rolls Royce of probiotics. It's Dr. O'Hara's probiotics. Dr. O'Hara, a world-renowned microbiologist, formulated a unique probiotic that blends ancient Japanese fermentation methods with 21st century technology. No refrigeration is needed. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics contains the strongest lactic acid bacteria known to man based on scientific laboratory research. 6.25 times stronger. Quite simply, it works and works very well. So go to our website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, or call us toll-free, 866-424-1077. That's 866-424-1077. We're here to help.
What do you think? Call Robert now at 866-939-2355. That's 866-939-BELL.
Hey there, this is Mike. Got a couple of things you may want to check out. Did you know about the website counterthink.com? These are some really hilarious, freedom-oriented, health-oriented, even political cartoons that you got to check out. Counterthink.com. And if you want to know what's in your food, go check out foodinvestigations.com, where you've got a bunch of free mini documentaries, little videos there that you can watch that will show you what's in your food and what's not in your food. We talk about Total Blueberry Pomegranate Cereal made by General Mills. Did you know it has no blueberries in it and no pomegranates? We got the video right there on foodinvestigations.com. And if you really want to know what's in your food, your medicine, your personal care products, and so on, head over to naturalnews.com. We're publishing about 12 articles a day now, everything from healing superfoods to the dangerous chemicals in your products, foods, and medicines. Naturalnews.com. Check it out.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
Hey, Don, you ever wonder how they find out how these drugs even do what they do? I mean, you know, we cover this research that's finding out it's, well, it does a little bit, but it doesn't really do much, but it kills you. But we're going to say in the headline that it really does some cool stuff. There's evidently another drug or class of drugs, or is it class of drug trials here? You know, this is another thing. This is off of Pharmalot. It says FDA is urged to suspend trials of Novartis drug. Novartis is getting hammered here. In letters to the FDA and the Office for Human Research Protections, Public Citizen charges that clinical trials being run by Novartis for its Ilaris medication, which, by the way, is approved for treating several rare and severe or serious genetic disorders, should be suspended. And you ask why. They say the watchdog group saying that Novartis is taking a shotgun approach to its research and argues the drug is dangerous and the studies are unethical because patients are not even being protected according to law. So what are they doing here, Don? They're just shooting the patients? Shotgun approach. What is it? What do they mean here?
Well, not literally, but this Ilaris drug was initially approved for use in several what they called severe and serious genetic disorders. And just like every other drug company that's out there, they're not happy enough with just the drug being approved for the one thing. And we've talked about the off-label use thing before.
Yeah.
But what they're doing now is they've got these clinical trials going on all over the country, and they're just throwing out this drug in these clinical trials and injecting people on a daily basis with this drug to see whether just perhaps maybe it might be, have some kind of benefit in all of these other conditions. And the things that they're testing it on are people that have had heart attacks, people that have type 1 diabetes, type 2 diabetes, osteoarthritis. So it's I can definitely see what this Dog Group is upset about, because they're just randomly doing all of these clinical trials. Hope, you know, it's kind of like fishing. They're throwing the hook out there, you know, and hoping that they get a bite. And one of the things that is kind of distressing about this is some of these studies are involving children.
Oh, no, not again. Yeah, see, this is Nazi medicine again. This is more evidence that Novartis, which is part of the what I call the demon spawn of IG Farben out of Nazi Germany, World War II era, where they broke them up and they just went underground and came back up and basically dominated the globe with their monopolization of any kind of treatment. And here you're talking about genetic disorders, and they're going to somehow inject a magic drug to what? To recombine your DNA appropriately? I mean, the thing is, DNA is expressing in aberrant fashion because of these drugs, because of the nutrient deficiencies that result when parents rely upon these drugs, on top of the heavy metal exposures that are all too common in 20th and 21st century Western America, where they still are allowed, the American Dunderhead Dental Association, to put mercury in your teeth. And all of this results in, of course, genetic abnormalities. We've also talked about the controversies of the March of Dimes. You know about them. The March of Dimes has been around. We want to protect you against birth defects. They won't even acknowledge the studies again on what we just mentioned about GTF chromium. Did we not? About lowering or elevating HDL. But it also has a very profound protective mechanism on the developing fetus, the chromosomal integrity. That is the DNA expression. And we can do these things with nutrients, but there's no money. So what excuse do they have to even be conducting these trials, Don? I mean, I don't know if this watchdog public citizen group is even going far enough here.
Well, it's definitely worth taking a look at, because the diseases, as I was saying, that it was approved for were a couple of things I've never actually heard of before. One of them is called familial cold autoinflammatory syndrome. And the other one is called Muckle-Wells syndrome. I've never heard of either one of those. But what is so serious about this is that the drug can cause widespread inflammation in the body, and it also suppresses the immune system. So it makes people susceptible to infections.
Sure.
And also has some links to possibly causing cancer. So I don't know. It's just one of those things where, you know, it's designed to treat these special, specific, isolated type, you know, rare diseases, but they're out there throwing it to see if maybe it can treat diabetes. I don't know why it is. How do we keep coming up with these stories of where they're doing these ridiculous things to try and cure diabetes?
And it is. It's ridiculous gyrations and gymnastics and contortions that are completely unneeded, knowing what we know here.
It's a silly question. We know why they're doing it.
Yeah.
It keeps coming back to the same thing. It's money. They're trying to find a way to make more profits because Big Pharma is losing money right now. And so they're doing everything they can and trying to cast their net out as far as they can to try and reel in as much profit as they can to try and compensate for what they're losing. And so we're starting to see – and this stuff, this is – I don't even know how to describe
Don,
this.
It's
morbid. It is criminal.
You mentioned that they were trying to reduce inflammation in some cases with these syndromes and diseases, yet at the same time they acknowledge that the drug itself increases inflammation.
Yeah. It's just like, what is that drug that there's the commercial, Euloric?
Yes.
That's supposed to treat gout.
Right.
And in the commercial, it says some of the side effects may be gout flare-ups. So, we're taking this drug to treat gout, but it might cause your gout to flare up.
Yeah, isn't that lovely? And by the way, you bring up Euloric again. I should remind all my new listeners that if you're concerned about uric acid, and of course, uric acid is a normal metabolic waste product of animal protein digestion. So, and of course, certain vegetarians can produce some levels of uric acid as well. But primarily, if you eat a lot of animal protein, one of the breakdown components, uric acid, will be, if you will, it will be in excess potentially in your body if your liver is not at 110% capacity. And so here's a case of just a simple metabolic waste. And I think everybody understands metabolic waste. I'm not talking above anybody's head here, Don. This is something like you eat something, you break it down, then there's some waste, right? You eat something, there's going to be waste. And the cells have waste as well. And so as they're digesting these proteins, so one of the waste products is uric acid. Normally it'll go to the liver where it's going to be transformed, all right? It'll be altered in its form. uric acid gets transformed into the salt of the acid to the sodium urate, and then you'll find it moving into the urine, right? You understand that concept, and you'll probably just pee it out. May I be so bold as to say that? However, when the liver is compromised, is congested, when the people are on these drugs and they're absolutely devoid of selenium, when they don't understand the necessity of the GTF chromium, which has been ripped out of their food because it's processed, then they don't have the liver capacity, the function to do the job that God, you know, gave the liver to us to do. And at that point, even if we're not eating excess amounts of animal protein, we could end up with gout or any of the arthritic family of diseases. It could be in the classic case of the big toe, but it could be in the knee or the elbow. And at that point, the docs say, oh, euloric, which might cause you to have a flare-up of the very same thing they're trying to treat you for. Or we could say, gee, you know, wouldn't it be a good idea to restore function to that little old big old liver that has an amazing capacity to regenerate if we just give it the tools that it needs? And, of course, you have the classic milk thistle, which so many people understand. We have made fun of the dandelion. Actually, not that the dandelion, the people that spray dandelion. They go out, well, I've got a weed killer. I got to get rid of the dandelion. No.
It's a weed.
Pull that weed out, but use it for medicine. Make a tea out of it.
They even use the dandelion as an example on the Roundup commercials you see on TV.
Yeah, and that's criminal right there because you're growing your own medicine. Of course, the FDA will come and pounce on you. Oh, you're growing something in your front yard. It's like, no, honest, I didn't plant it, officer. It just came up there. Don't arrest me.
It's not a dandelion garden, I promise.
I'll pull it, I promise. Well, we want you to dispose of it according to hazardous waste guidelines. Why? It's a dandelion. Well, we're going to spray it with Roundup. That's why. And in the meantime, you could have been using the Roundup. Well, actually, no, you could be using the dandelion to detoxify from the Roundup. All right. Don't eat the dandelion if you're spraying it, though. That's another story. But please stop spraying it. Use it. And, of course, I've talked so much about the selenium. We've talked about many things for the liver. We've talked about the coffee enemas as well. But getting the things in that are necessary and also the homeopathic remedies. Remember I talked about the poison ivy, Don. If you have poison ivy, it can create stiffness of the joints in addition to all the nastiness of the skin. But that's why Rust Toxicodendron, which is the Latin name for poison ivy, is usually always indicated for gout and arthritis, among a number of other remedies that I've mentioned, including colchicum, which is another Latin name, colchicum, as well as benzoic acetum or benzoic acid in homeopathic form. That's benzoic. As I don't know how I can pull Latin out of my head like that. Sometimes it just kind of
I don't know
blows.
How you do it, Robert.
It's crazy.
That's one of the things. I'm still not on that level yet. You know, I just want to sit there and say, well, okay. No, actually, I would use E pluribus unum.
Make a remedy out of E pluribus unum? Perhaps, maybe, we could take the Federal Reserve note dollar, the fiat Bernanke buck, and convert it by serial dilution and succussion into a homeopathic remedy. Would it counteract Bernanke and the Fed? Would it eliminate them? That would be a great, interesting investigation. Perhaps we can maybe see if we can get a grant from the NIH. Somehow I don't think they'll give us that grant.
No, not likely.
Not bloody likely. Hey, let's take a break here. I can't wait to reveal this interview coming up next. It was really terrific. First aired yesterday on the Ron Paul Road to Ames, if you will. Ready for Ames, Iowa. Money Bomb. I interviewed Senator Rand Paul. He was in between meetings, and did we cover a lot of stuff, including give a listen to the things when we talk about the FBI and what they may have known prior to 9/11 as well. It is fascinating. And then we'll come back to wrap up the show. My good buddy and producer Don is with me today. Thanks again to Liam Sheff for joining us last hour. Stand by. We're coming right back with Senator Rand Paul.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
Hold that shrimp on the Barbie until you find out about Papaya 35 Multiply Plus, direct from Australia. All natural, GMO-free Papaya 35 Multiply Plus is made from fermented papaya and pomegranate, rich in natural probiotics, digestive enzymes, and antioxidants. Now get this spectacular product to boost your natural killer cells to help your immune system and improve your digestion at the same time. So now you can have your shrimp on the Barbie, feel better, and if you act now, get a great down-under price and free shipping on each product that you order. Don't wait. Go to onestophealthshop.com and order now. That's one-stop-health-shop.com. Get that great down under price and free shipping right now at one-stop-health-shop.com. That's one-stop-health-shop.com.
Dr. Teresa Dale here with an urgent message for you. Are you seeking a natural solution for hormone balance? Do you now use any hormone replacement? Do you suffer from menopause or low T? Do you want results using safe, natural, and trusted products? We have thousands of test results proving the efficacy of our products. I created a proven homeopathic system and the only five-element saliva test in the world used by thousands of health providers and now available to you. Did you know there are side effects to using bioidentical hormones in any HRT? Don't wait. Get my five-element saliva test and get your hormones balanced. Don't risk cancer and other side effects. Call us. 800-219-1261. That's 800-219-1261. Or visit naturalhealingpro.com.
Got a question for Robert? Call now at 866-939-2355. That's 866-939-BELL.
72% of America is obese or overweight. Heart disease, cancer, and diabetes are at all-time highs. America is sick, fat, and confused. Hi, I'm Kevin Brown, author of The Liberation Diet. I'd like to personally invite you to join me for a four-week intensive course called Liberation Wellness for Life. In this course, you'll learn the truth about how to use real food to lose weight without sacrificing good taste or nutrition. Come on. Summer's just around the corner. You can lose weight with real foods. Think it can't be done? Listen to a few satisfied customers.
I would absolutely recommend Kevin's program to people who are serious about their own success, serious about their own good health, and serious about improving the quality of their life.
Join me for this very special online event. Go to liberationwellness.com and click the online class link. Mention Natural News Radio and receive a $20 discount. That's liberationwellness.com.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast.
Robert
Ryan. He is tenacious, isn't he?
Scott.
He's
Scott,
a brave
Scott,
and a decent
Scott.
Man.
He's a pioneer.
Bell.
This message must be read in every newspaper, heard on every radio, seen on every television.
The Robert Scott Belcher.
Robert Scott Belcher.
Yesterday, I was honored. Hey, who am I kidding? I was stoked to host for a couple of hours of the Ready for Ames Ron Paul Radio Money Bomb Marathon. And I got to interview his son, Senator, and Dr. Rand Paul, who you've heard here on the Robert Scott Bell Show a number of times over the years, along with my interviews going way back with Ron Paul so many years ago before the presidential runs of 2008 and now 2012. And I had the opportunity to interview Senator Paul yesterday for this Money Bomb. And it was quite an extraordinary number of topics we were able to cover together in a short span of time. I thought it worthwhile that you would also get the insight into a sitting U.S. senator, which there's only 100 at any given time, and learn what's going on regarding the debt ceiling and a number of other issues. As I said, I am unabashedly a supporter of those who love liberty and health freedom, and Senator Paul's father, Ron Paul, is absolutely a champion for liberty, health freedom, milk freedom, farm freedom, food freedom, natural medicine freedom, and that's why I like him here, and I am unabashedly supporting him, and you know that. That doesn't mean if you don't agree with me or him, you can't listen. No, I'm glad you're on board, but there are a lot of issues that are going to affect you one way or another, and I think that's an important reason why I wanted to air this Rand Paul interview today on the Robert Scott Bell Show. Don, go ahead and run it. We are joined right now by the son of the future president, the next president of the United States. It is Senator and Dr. Rand Paul. It's great to have you on board today on this Money Bomb in support of your dad's candidacy.
Good to be with you today. I'm excited to do anything I can to help my dad get elected.
Of course. Now, the big thing is the Ready Aims Fire. This is the Money Bomb to support, really, and ramp up the key starting point, if you will, the straw poll in Iowa. What can you tell me about what's on the ground there? I know, I think you've made a couple of trips up there for your dad.
Yeah, and I'm supposed to go, I think, next weekend. The only problem, we're having this little debate in Washington about the debt ceiling, and they have informed us that we may not be, we may be voting through the weekend, so we're going to have to see how it goes. But I am scheduled to go to Iowa. We have a good organization in Iowa. We have people on the ground in charge who have been involved in Iowa politics for a long time. I think we have three or four members that are on the Central Committee of the Republican Party. So there are definitely advantages this time that didn't exist the last time. I think the other real advantage for my dad is that his name recognition is now, you know, virtually universal. Almost everybody in the country that will vote has heard of Ron Paul. And I think what's amazing also is that the attraction he has for independence. And that's something that I think is understated and really is a secret weapon if he were able to pull off a victory. Would be that we have to motivate the independents to get out and vote. And they're allowed to vote in Iowa and also in New Hampshire.
Mm. And speaking of the debt ceiling, of course, that's the big news everywhere. And it's a planet-wide event, in fact. What happens here in the U.S. is affecting the economy of the globe. What do you see here? Because Obama has threatened to cut Social Security checks or not cut them for the people instead of cutting back. You know, what I've said is like, can you bring a few troops home to cover the old people that need it? I mean, is there something they can do here?
Well, and the amazing thing is Obama has made this a false choice. There is plenty of revenue to pay for interest on the debt. We bring in about $200 billion a month, and our interest payment's about $20 billion. So we have plenty of money to pay the interest. In fact, this is sort of a threat that he has made for political purposes to demagogue the issue simply so we can keep doing things as usual, borrowing money from China and Japan and keep things going. But, yeah, we have plenty of money for interest. We also have plenty of money for Social Security checks. Social Security spends about $50 to $60 billion a month, so you're still only up to about $80 billion out of the $200 billion you bring in. So we're not even close to not being able to pay for Social Security or interest. Mm. Now, what you would have, ultimately, if we did not raise the debt ceiling, you would be able to get about 70% of what government does. That means you'd have a 30% shutdown. But they usually don't want to approach it that way. They want it to be seen as a full shutdown and not a partial shutdown. So they take away the most emotional things first, soldier salaries, Social Security checks, Medicare, interest on the debt. But in reality, what we might have to do is we have 82 federal job training programs. Maybe we'd have to close down 81 of them. Hmm. You know, maybe we'd have to live more frugally and have less waste. And really a lot of functions would have to go back to the states and the individuals, but you could survive on 70% of the income.
Oh, yeah. I mean, how many years back does it take us? 1 year, 2 years back in total revenue? I mean, it's not a long time ago that we were dealing with a little bit smaller government, but not much.
Yeah, people would be amazed. We bring in, you know, $2.2 trillion a year. And to balance that budget, you're right, would be going back just a few years.
Yeah, it's not like the end of the world. But then again, the fear mongering, whether it be from Ben Bernanke and the Fed or Timothy Geithner, the Treasury Secretary. Now, your dad, Congressman, and Dr. Ron Paul have said we need transparency in government. We need openness in government. And he's been, you know, a stalwart advocate for so many things that are so wonderful. But yet we're hearing about secret meetings, right? The leadership in the Senate, the leadership in the House, a meeting with Obama in secret, then they leak certain things out. And it's like a tawdry, paparazzi affair, as opposed to something that's very serious that's going on.
Right. And that's what we've been fighting against the whole time is these secret deals. And it's still my fear that there will be a secret deal cut. And there's actually a not so secret deal out there right now that really lets the president raise the debt ceiling with really no congressional authority, and then the Congress can disapprove of it. It's a complicated parliamentary procedure, but in the end, basically the debt ceiling will go up with only a third of one House approving of it.
This is horrible. That's amazing that they would actually play with it in this way. And what's the point of having a debt ceiling if it could be raised in perpetuity anyway? I mean, it seems to be that this game has been played for a long time, which is a lot what your dad has said and what you've seen in your short time in the Senate. Isn't it amazing how not serious they're taking something so seriously?
Well, the thing is that the whole idea of the separation of powers and checks and balances was that fiscal issues, the purse strings, the ability to fund government and to borrow to fund government were all really given to Congress. They weren't given to the president because we feared giving too much power to the presidency. This new tactic with making the debt ceiling go up automatically with the president's request and only a third of Congress approving it really takes away power from Congress, and I think really goes against what our founding fathers wanted.
Well, the defense of the, let's say, one of the branches of government, one that you're in the legislative branch in the Senate, I mean, there are a few people that seem to be outraged, but it seems to be the same thing. As long as my president's in power, then we want to give him that power. But what happens when the next guy gets in? I mean, don't they have any foresight beyond the next election?
Well, and I think what really is lacked here is spine. I've told people that, for example, we won't pass a balanced budget amendment this week, but if we waited until September 2nd and we had a partial shutdown for a month on September 2nd, maybe a few Democrats would give in. You know, the other day, the Democrat governor of Minnesota gave in to the Republican legislature because they played out the whole scenario, and they had a government shutdown, and he eventually said, I don't agree with their plan, but I'll sign it. And that's kind of what would have to happen here with the balanced budget amendment, is the Democrats don't like it, but we would need to force them through not letting them have any more money, basically not raising the debt ceiling. And then I think ultimately they would capitulate and they would deal with us.
Well, yeah, they'd have to at that point. But I guess the greater concern is people realize, like your dad's been saying for so many years, you know, how long can we borrow from China? How long will they keep accepting these Federal Reserve Note dollars that are not what I would consider lawful constitutional, because they never overturned the Coinage Act of 1792, which basically defined a dollar in a very specific way related to gold and silver. And yet they pretend that, well, they didn't need to. It just, they ignore it and move on. How much of that culture still exists there?
Well, I think that's a lot of the problem because, you know, many have pointed out that even without a balanced budget amendment, if we just obeyed the Constitution and obeyed the idea of enumerated powers, that only certain powers were given to the federal government, we would balance our budget every year. But we've gotten so far away from that. Ever since the 30s and the New Deal, we have drifted farther and farther away from believing really in a republic in many ways. We at one time believed in a constitutionally restrained republic, and more I think we've become a pure democracy where, you know, Nancy Pelosi, all she's looking for is not constitutional authority, she's just looking for 51% of the vote to pass things like Obamacare, which clearly violate the spirit and the content of the Constitution.
Well, what happens, let's say, you know, China has actually made a mention of the fact, like we know, by monetizing the debt, by inflating the money supply and reducing the value of each paper dollar, it's meaning that China is being paid back in cheaper dollars. They're getting upset by this. At what point do they say, we want to foreclose on that debt? Do they get to take water rights, mineral rights here in the U.S.? What happens at that point?
Well, I think that ultimately what happens, you know, as they become more alarmed at loaning us money is, you know, interest rates are going to rise. And really, when the interest rates rise and the money begins to devalue rapidly, you know, that's when you'll see the rise in prices here, and you'll see the deficit spiral out of control because we will not be able to finance it. The only way we'll finance it is by printing more money, but then prices begin to rise more rapidly. Even now, they tell us there's no inflation. They don't give cost of living increases to those who are on government checks.
Right.
But the interesting thing is if you measure inflation using the exact same standards we did in the late 1970s, we have 10% inflation now. And you don't have to tell the average person in America, you know, when they go to the pump and see gas prices double what they were 2 years ago and they see food prices rising, I think the average American is having their standard of living threatened by inflation even now. But it could get a lot worse.
Oh, yeah. And I don't think anybody that's putting out those numbers has ever filled up their own tank of gas or gone to the grocery store, or else I don't know how to explain what they're saying. Now, I want to switch gears here because another aspect of the championship that your dad has been for so long as far as championing freedom, the Fourth Amendment issue, we've covered issues like the TSA, the groping as such. Now you have sent a very intriguing and interesting letter to the FBI regarding the extension of Robert Mueller's term as head of the FBI. Have you gotten a response to your letter? What are the issues there that are still floating out there?
We have started to get some response from people at the FBI, and my hope is still to have a meeting with the FBI director this week. I'm concerned about a couple of things. We are admitting 60 or have admitted 60,000 Iraqis to this country in the last 3 years. And they're admitted under something called refugee asylum. It's like political asylum. Basically, if you live under a country where your government is tyrannical and you might be killed, like China or Vietnam after the Vietnam War, we grant people like that asylum. The problem is these people are coming from a country that now has a democratic government, and I'm not quite clear how we're letting people, so many people, come into the country. When you let so many come in, inevitably there'll be some people who want to do you harm. I guess a good analogy is that, you know, even in the Iraqi armies and the Afghan armies, people that are vetted to become part of the army, about every 3 or 4 months, one of them will shoot American soldiers because obviously they came into the army under false pretenses. I'm concerned about those people coming to our country. The other concern is that they had the fingerprints on an unexploded IED of one of the alleged terrorists. They've had it since 2005, but he came to the country in 2009. He lives in government housing on food stamps in Bowling Green, and as many of these refugees are, and yet at the same time, they didn't check their own data banks to find out that he was actually a known terrorist.
These are very serious issues that we need answers for before you even consider approving this guy for some more time.
Right. We're also going to ask some questions about the Patriot Act. We're going to ask some questions about, how many U.S. citizens have been tried under the Patriot Act. We're going to ask some questions about the percentages of arrests and such. The other question I'd like to know is with 9/11, there was this fellow by the name of Massawi up in Minnesota that was captured a month before. There were 70 letters written by an FBI agent to their superior asking for a warrant to search his computer.
I remember that.
And they use this as justification for the Patriot Act. They say, we need the Lone Wolf Act because we could have got it. The matter is they never ask for a warrant to search his computer. And my question to them is, was anyone ever let go? Was anyone ever forced into retirement over this bad judgment, this horrible judgment by our intelligence? There were also letters written to the FBI from a Phoenix office warning that there were several Middle Eastern men taking flying lessons, and do we need to look into this? This was all before 9/11. And no responses made or directive action by the FBI. And some of this has been talked about before, but my point is that a lot of government failure is human error, and that humans, if you're head of a CEO of a company and it loses money, you get fired. It's not always directly your fault, but someone has to take responsibility and someone has to be fired. I'm not positive this ever happened after 9/11.
Yeah, the consequences for government when you do a poor job, you get a larger budget. It's just bizarre. It's a weird world there.
Yeah, you're exactly right. But we're excited about how the presidential campaign is going, and we think that Iowa and New Hampshire, we really have good chances, but it's going to require just lots of effort. I mean, we won't win by just riding on our laurels. It will take an enormous amount of volunteer effort, getting the vote out, getting people to caucuses, and but I think we have a real chance if we can motivate and get the independents. See, last time I think the independents voted mostly in the other primary.
Right.
And some of these people, particularly on issues of going to war constitutionally and having constitutional restraint over war, I think they could be motivated to vote in the Republican primary, but it's a matter of finding them and getting them to the polls.
Yeah, and it's interesting because the Democrats have long said they're the champion for the little people, but another area where your dad, Ron Paul, has shined so well is in farm freedom and food freedom. And the executive branch of government under Obama has stepped up attacks against raw milk farmers, Amish farmers. We've talked about the issue of hemp freedom in Kentucky to grow a crop that, for goodness sake, was grown so that we could have a constitution written on it and a Declaration of Independence. I mean, there are a lot of bizarre things that are occurring under a Democratic administration.
Yeah, I think you're right, but I hope people will get excited. I hope people will participate in the money bomb today. And I think, so far, there's been a good outpouring of help for my dad's campaign. And if we can continue that, I think he can continue to be competitive. The other good news about it this time is that because the money fundraising has been done at an earlier stage, they can be much better organized. Last time the big fundraising was in November and December.
Right.
It got his campaign really going, but it was really almost too late to organize by then. This time they could do a lot of the fundamental organizing early on. So I think we have a much better chance now. I appreciate you doing this for my dad.
Oh, Senator Rand Paul, thank you so much for your efforts to do freedom up there right.
Thank you.
Coming right back, last segment of the day here on the Robert Scott Bell Show, ramping it up for health, freedom, and liberty like nowhere else in media. Stand by. We'll be right back.
Giving the pharmaceutical industry cardiac arrest.
Clear.
It's the Robert Scott Bell Show.
For thousands of years, silver has played an essential role in safeguarding human health. Robert Scott Bell Show listeners know that Sovereign Silver, bioactive silver hydrosol, is the purest and most effective form of silver available. Only Sovereign Silver contains the smallest and most active particles in every bottle, each batch rigorously safety tested to guarantee the highest quality. At only 10 parts per million, Sovereign Silver outperforms other colloidal silvers 50 times more concentrated. Sovereign Silver acts faster than echinacea, oil of oregano, and other immune products. Like water and has more uses than anything else for the immune system. And Sovereign Silver now comes in a topical first aid gel. Use Sovereign Silver gel on cuts, scrapes, minor burns, bug bites, itching, eczema, diaper rash, and more. Sovereign Silver is the number one selling silver brand in the U.S. For a free information packet to order or for a store near you, call 888-328-8840. That's 888-328-8840 or visit sovereignsilver.com.
What do you think? Call Robert now at 866-939-2355. That's 866-939-BELL.
Hi, this is the Health Ranger here inviting you to check out the Natural News Store. Yes, we have an amazing store offering superfoods and other healthy food items, including kitchen appliances like Vitamix blenders and food dehydrators, nut milk bags, lots of things for anyone who's interested in leading a healthier lifestyle. And here's another cool part about it. Because we have such a huge reach, millions of people a month that we're reaching who follow Natural News, we're able to get huge discounts on some really high-end superfoods and nutritional products. We offer those at ridiculously good prices on our specials page. You can find that right now at store.naturalnews.com. Just go to store.naturalnews.com and you'll see the current specials link on the left-hand column right at the top there. Click on that. You can check out the current specials. We've got superfoods at prices that are often 40 or 50% off. Check it all out at store.naturalnews.com.
In the health world through the power of radio, it's the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Well, after covering some intense topics, Don, you and I, plus the interview with Senator Rand Paul, serious stuff out there, I figure it's time to go back to some nurturing stories. Don't you think that would be a good idea?
Absolutely.
All right.
Do that whenever we can.
Yeah. So let's nurture some things on here. This is maybe a controversial adult topic. We're going to talk about dolls. Yes, I mean the little dolls that kids play with. It's like, what? You know, why would you be doing that? Well,
it doesn't sound like a topic we would normally.
Not normally, no. But this is a doll that really honors something that we feel is very important here on the Robert Scott Bell Show. This is called a breastfeeding doll, and it's evidently causing controversy. I don't know why, unless we have become, let's say, so foreign to normal, natural functions of nourishing babies that a breastfeeding doll would become such a controversy. This is a doll designed to imitate breastfeeding, spark controversy as Spanish manufacturer Bergeron Toys last week announced plans to market the doll in the United States. Now, what are they worried about here? What are they worried about?
It's interesting. You know our favorite doctor over at Fox News. Actually, I don't know who is our favorite doctor. Is it?
Well, we got Isidore Rosenfeld. I mean, he actually is a nice old man. Occasionally, yeah. We have to make fun of what he's done. But here's Manny Alvarez, Dr. Manny, managing editor of Health Fox. He's warning against this doll. He's like, we don't want to rush expedite maternal qualities in young girls who play with it. I'm having trouble finding out how a little girl playing with a doll who actually is, you know, showing another doll doing breastfeeding is going to somehow. I mean, how long ago was it that little girl was probably breastfeeding on mom? I hope.
Well, it's interesting because Dr. Manny Alvarez, they're quoting him in this story, basically making him the spokesperson for the group that is against it. And he says that it's like introducing sex education in first grade instead of 7th or 8th grade. And I'm thinking, what has nursing got to do with sex education?
See, this is, you know, here's a doctor, Manny. He's a man. He's got a Manny the man. And he's looking at this, and he's the guy that's sexualizing this.
Yes, absolutely. He thinks that it could cause girls to become traumatized.
You're going to traumatize?
Traumatized, really.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. You know, there's another guy that's, Dennis Lewis, who's a spokesman for the toy company. He says he doesn't believe the arguments against the dolls are reasonable, telling Forbes that breastfeeding shouldn't be turned into a taboo subject. I happen to agree with him. We probably have some people in the audience that might be upset with this topic. I don't know. It could be. It could happen. Because it used to be a normal way to do it. Now it's like, ooh, don't talk to me about that. It's a human breast.
It's actually a really big deal because you see stories, from time to time where people are whether they have restaurants or malls or parks, mm-hmm. or whatever, they're trying to ban people from being able to breastfeed. And there's quite a few people that get really irritated and upset and almost militant, and trying to defend that. And just the idea that, a child would become traumatized because it saw their mother breastfeeding the baby. I'm trying to. I mean, what do these people do? Do they
how did we get here?
Hide in a bedroom or something while they're breastfeeding the baby? Is it that controversial?
No, I think we've become so divorced from nature, and that's a shame. There's another quote here. I don't usually quote psychiatrists, much less child psychologists, or psychiatrists in this case. But Dr. Ned Halliwell actually says something very, very intelligent here. He says, I don't think it's sexualizing any more than a little boy standing next to his father shaving and putting on shaving cream. This is a normal thing dads and boys will do. Then he goes on to say, because you're wondering, how is this Manny Alvarez, how is this baby doll going to harm a child or traumatize a child? And Dr. Halliwell says this, the only way harm can be done with this doll is if you beat your kid over the head with it. And I'm thinking, well, yeah, that's, don't do that. Yeah. We're not endorsing that.
Yeah, and I mean, even it doesn't even have the nipples. Somebody might be uncomfortable with, it's showing the nipples on a breast. But they put flowers where the nipples are supposed to be. So, I mean, they've even, it sounds like they've accommodated the people that might be uncomfortable with it being an actual nipple.
We should be upset by this because they're encouraging humans to behave like bees. Right? We're going after that flower. and then the kids are going to get stung by the bees and wonder why. Well, that little the baby that had flowers on, whatever.
Or is it a genetically modified a hybrid, a flower human hybrid gene?
I don't know. I think this is silly. We talk about grown-ups. I talk all the time if I get a congressman or senator on about where are the grown-ups there, because they're just not around anymore when they do. And this is not a sexual toy. This is literally something that should be passed on from mother to child to teach the importance of, as long as the mother is healthy enough to do that, it will sustain life. It has sustained life as long as there's been humans or mammals, shall we say, on the planet.
Right.
Children do learn by playing. I mean, you look in the wild, it's like, oh, we're not wild, we're cultured, and we're going to do it from a bottle. And then, of course, give your kids Bisphenol A.
Right.
They need that, and then we're going to sexualize them. This is the bizarre thing. By doing the opposite of what this is encouraging people, by breastfeeding with plastic bottles, you're going to sexualize them before they're, the age where they'd normally be entering puberty because you've monkeyed with their hormones so badly.
Yeah, that's nasty stuff. I don't know, Robert. I mean, maybe we're off base here. I mean, maybe it's something I would be interested to see what the listeners think.
Yeah,
would you buy a breastfeeding doll for your baby? Would you feel like you were sexualizing or introducing sex to your child at too early of an age if they had a breastfeeding doll?
I'd be surprised if somebody thinks that in this audience, but hey, maybe. Here, as we're wrapping up the show today, if you want to chime in on this, we'll see if we can get that call on the air. We just put it out there for you. You want to participate, 866-939-2355, 866-939-BELL. Don, thanks again for another great show. Thanks. We got that Rand Paul interview out today, as well as thank you to Liam Sheff and to all of you for being here. Please spread the word about the Robert Scott Bell Show and Natural News Radio, as well as Natural News. We've got lots more to do. This is just the beginning. And you think we've covered some topics? Boy, you just wait till we got what we got coming up for you. Thank you for being here once again. Remember, as I remind you, every day at this time of the show until tomorrow. The power to heal is yours.
The Robert Scott, the Bell,
Robert
Show.
Scott Bell Show.
Did you know that your hormones can be rejuvenated without cancer-causing hormone replacement, including bioidentical HRT? This is Dr. Teresa Dale inviting you to take action with my natural homeopathic formulas. Get relief and balance back into your life. My formulas help heal a variety of health conditions, including menopause or low T. You know you have the power to heal your body and mind, and yes, my system and products will help you do that. They have been proven with thousands of people in before and after saliva tests. You can actually get a saliva test sent to you today or just start using our formulas for optimal wellness. Learn more at wellnesscenter.net or naturalhealingpro.com, and you can always give us a call at 800-219-1261.
Hey man, look at me rocking!